My name is Garland Robinson. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Here is the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration to the church in Ephesus. He's reminding those who had obeyed the gospel that they had been saved, were saved, by grace. First, he affirms that the children of God at Ephesus were saved by grace. Next, he says their salvation was not of themselves, it was a gift from God. He doesn't say that their faith was a gift from God. It was their salvation that was a gift from God. Next, he says their salvation was not of works, so they would have no room to glory or to boast about it. When we look at the word works, we find there are especially two types of works that are under consideration here in this place. Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness." But James says, over in James chapter 2, and verses 20 through 26, that faith apart from works is dead, that is barren, and that you see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. That is, faith apart from works is dead. Now, is that a contradiction? Some people have thought so, and for that reason, many of them have chosen Paul over James. They like what Paul said, so they want to keep that. They don't like what James said, and so they try to dispose of it. Even some of them say that James is not inspired and has no place in the Bible. However, the truth of the matter is that both Paul and James are inspired. God is the one that placed the book of Romans and the book of James in the Bible. What men fail to understand are the different types or different kinds of works that are under consideration. Paul is talking about works of merit in the book of Romans. Those kind of works are those that may put God under obligation to save him. Whereas, on the other hand, James is talking about works of obedience to God. And these are works that are conditions of salvation by grace. Even those who believe in salvation by faith only admit that salvation is conditioned upon what man does. For even they say that man must believe, so believing is an action of man. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 29, that even believing is a work. The fact that an individual believes God does not demand his salvation. It does not earn God's salvation. So no act of man can put God under obligation to save him based upon man's goodness or some performance of a duty that he's done, and on that basis alone. But God has promised to save, by grace, all of those who obey him. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 8 and 9, we read concerning Jesus, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him." Now, are we saved by grace alone, then? It is just as false to say that we're saved by grace alone as it is to say that we're saved by faith alone, or that we're saved by works alone. Paul says we're saved by grace through faith. So if we're saved by grace alone, then there's no need for faith, and there would be no need for works. We have debated with denominational preachers for many, many years that if one is saved by faith alone, then there's no need for repentance, and there's no need for any other action that man does. But these same preachers are advocating salvation by grace alone, yet they're saying that one must believe in Jesus. Now, you can't have it both ways. If salvation is by grace alone, then belief or faith on man's part has nothing to do with it, because the word alone means only, without addition of any other thing. Is there anyone that's willing to risk being saved eternally by grace alone without obeying the commands of the Lord? If so, let him step forward and see what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 21, where Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." We also find in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 to 10, that people will be saved when they obey the gospel, and the Lord will take vengeance on them that do not obey. Is there anyone that's willing to risk being saved by obedience only, without God's grace being extended to him? If so, then he's going to have to go back and study Romans 3 and Galatians 2 and Titus 2, Jude verse 20 and 21. Friend, there's nothing alone or by itself that brings about salvation, but it's God's grace, his great favor, the bounty that he has extended to man, and then with man accepting that in faith, obeying what God has commanded him to do. So how is man saved by grace? In Jerusalem, when salvation is spoken of regarding the Jews and the Gentiles, Peter said in Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, "We believe that we, that is Jews, shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they," that is, the Gentiles. First, we notice that salvation by grace is in some manner. Next, Jews and Gentiles are saved by grace in the same manner, that is, through the same means. There's not one plan of salvation for Jews and another plan for Gentiles. Now, what is the manner in which both Jews and Gentiles are saved? It is by grace through faith. We read in Acts chapter 2 that Peter preached to the Jews on Pentecost, and there they, being convicted of their sins, they asked what they must do to be saved, and Peter told them. The answer was from heaven, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins." Acts 2 and verse 38. 3,000 people responded on that occasion by obeying that commandment. Therefore, they were saved by grace, but not by grace alone. Grace was God's part in their salvation, and obedience to the Lord's commandments was man's part. This is the manner in which the Jews were saved by grace. Then we read in Ephesians 2, in verses 11 to 22, where Paul said to the Ephesians who were saved by grace that some of them, perhaps the majority of them in there in Ephesus, were Gentiles and therefore were fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise that was received in Christ, Ephesians 3:6. Now, how were they saved by grace? How were these Gentiles saved by grace? Paul found some who knew only the baptism of John. He taught them of the baptism which Jesus commanded, and they were baptized into Christ in Acts 19 and verses 1 to 7. We know they believed because salvation is by grace through faith. We also know they repented, for we read in Acts 11:18, "Then to the Gentiles also hath God granted repentance unto life." So Gentiles are saved by grace in the same manner in which Jews are saved by grace. Now notice the provisions of God's grace. In John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the believer may have everlasting life." God was not obligated to do this for sinful man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, it was God's love, His mercy, His grace that moved Him to send Jesus to die on the cross and suffer the penalty for our sin. Next, Jesus lived a sinless life to set an example for us, to show us how He wants us to live. We not only have His example, but we have His promise that He will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says that He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape for us that we might be able to bear it. The greatest manifestation of the grace of God is that He gave Jesus to die on the old rugged cross. There He shed His blood to make satisfaction for our sins, to cleanse us from all of our sins, and to wash us from our sins in His precious blood. Now, how is this accomplished by grace through faith? Grace is God's part. Because of God's great bountiful love, His concern, His mercy toward us, God does us a favor. He bestows upon mankind a great benefit. That is grace. He makes a way of escape from the penalty of our sins. He provided Jesus to die for us on that cross and suffered and bled, that the blood that He shed was for the forgiveness of sins. But it's left up now to man to accept that, to comply with the conditions God has laid down in order to be a recipient of the benefits of His blood that He shed on the cross. There is where faith comes in. We believe that God will forgive us, but that belief is more than simply a mental acceptance of God's grace. Rather, it includes obedience on our part. We not only believe it, we're willing to perform that which God has commanded us to do. Therefore, we are obedient unto Him. Therefore, salvation is by God's grace through our faith, and faith is a work, not a work of merit, but a work that God has commanded us to do. In Revelation 22:14, we read that we might have right to come to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into that great city above. Friend, won't you obey the gospel, accept God's grace by faith, because that faith is active and obedient unto God. My name is Garland Robinson.